It's time to talk tennis now, the second Grand Slam of this strange season, the US Open taking place in New York. We're approaching the end of week one. Let's talk to Stephen Higgins of CrossCourtView.com. Stephen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And Stephen, before we get to talk about who is there and how they're doing, some notable absentees in the men's and women's singles this time around.
Yeah, they're, I think the most notable, obviously, in the men's would be Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal. Now, Roger Federer actually has had two knee operations before the tournament and before the pandemic had really set in. So he was always going to miss the US Open. Rafael Nadal did, who is the defending champion, did make the decision to skip the tournament because of the pandemic. There's much more damage on the women's side in terms of the draw, where six of the top 10 decided not to play the tournament, including the defending champion Bianca Andreescu, the world number one Ash Barty, and Simona Halep, the defending Wimbledon champion.
Now, COVID has raised its head during the week. Tell us about the case of Benoit Paire.
Yeah, so Benoit Paire is the world number 23. And last week he played in Cincinnati, a warm-up event for the US Open, which was held on the same campus at Flushing Meadows to keep the bubble intact, the COVID bubble intact. He tested positive on the eve of the tournament and he was basically removed from the tournament as a precaution. But the interesting thing was, because he's a sociable French player, he has a good group of friends that he had been playing cards with and going around the tournament with. So somewhere between 7 and 11 players have had to have extra precautions because they came into contact with him. So you've had this kind of description as the pair 11 or the pair 7, almost like Ocean's 11. So one of the players who was in contact with him was Adrian Mannarino, who played last night against Alexander Zverev. Now, Irish fans might remember Adrian Mannarino because he broke the hearts of many Irish fans and players when he knocked Conor Nyland out of Wimbledon in 2011, preventing him from playing Federer in centre court. Mannarino was supposed to play last night against Zverev, but the match was delayed for 2 to 3 hours as there was a back and forth between the tournament and the New York State authorities of whether he should be allowed to play or not. He did play in the end after a huge delay and lost to Zverev.
And Kristina Mladenovic, she doesn't sound very French, but she is, and she's been describing the abominable treatment she's been receiving from the people running the tournament.
Yeah, well, this is kind of, I suppose, what you sign up for. And people will always make the case that there are bigger priorities. Obviously, it's a pandemic where people have suffered enormously across the world. And who cares about tennis players giving out about their lot? What's fascinating, though, for the tournament is because there is, it's within a bubble. And then because she was exposed to Benoit Paire, she's in a bubble within the bubble. And that basically means that she has to stay in her room the entire time. She's allowed out to train, immediately go back to the room, allowed out to play a match, immediately go back to the room. Now, one of the other points as well is for those players who had contact with Benoit Paire, they have to stay in New York until their quarantine period is finished, even if they got knocked out. So all the other players in that group have been knocked out and have to stay in New York before traveling back to Europe. Bear in mind, there is the Rome event before the rescheduled Roland Garros. So they're missing out on all that time to prepare for the third Grand Slam of the year.
To the action on the court itself, Novak Djokovic last night, a straight sets winner and looking very good.
Yeah, even if it was a normal situation, a normal world with full strength draw, Novak Djokovic would be the favourite to go into the tournament. It is incredible that in this bifurcated season, he is still unbeaten. He was unbeaten up till March 9th when the season ended, and he won Cincinnati last week. So he goes into the tournament with huge confidence. He probably played the best match of the comeback last night against Jan-Lennard Struff. His draw is brilliant at the top in terms of top half. There isn't really anyone you could really make a huge argument for to challenge him before the final, because you lost Stefanos Tsitsipas surprisingly last night, and obviously you don't have a Federer, a Nadal, a Stan Wawrinka, those types of players to stop him.
What about the other half of the draw?
The other half of the draw is very interesting. So you still have Dominic Thiem, the Australian Open finalist. You still have Marin Cilic, the former champion here. You have Felix Auger-Aliassime, who is an incredible young prospect who knocked Andy Murray out. You still have Roberto Bautista-Agut. But probably the one to watch from the bottom half would be Daniil Medvedev, who's playing well. He is the finalist last year. He took Nadal to five sets in an absolutely brilliant match last year. I would expect, if you're going by form, and of course this is a term where that hasn't counted for as much as usual, I would expect you'd see Daniil Medvedev against Novak Djokovic in the final.
All right, that's a bold prediction, although based on current form, probably an accurate one. We'll wait and see anyway. Andy Murray, you mentioned his defeat, his straight sets defeat to Felix Auger-Aliassime. A lot of people think that post-hip operations that he is no longer a contender for Grand Slams. Would you concur?
Well, yeah, at the moment he's not a contender for Grand Slams. He admitted as much after he lost that he's ranked somewhere about 110 in the world, and he said, I'm playing like someone who's 110 in the world. I have to improve my level. The one thing that's brilliant is he says he doesn't have hip pain. So the issue that he was dealing with for 2 to 3 years that was causing him agony just walking around tournaments is no longer there. It's more a case of he lost to Felix because Auger-Aliassime is a brilliant player and Murray didn't play that well, but it was something like this only the second Grand Slam match he'd played in about 3 years or so, or sorry, about the fourth match he'd played in 3 years. So he needs much more time to even see what his level is. Of course, the odds are against it given his age and the hip, but it's still too early to kind of even tell what his capacity or his ceiling is.
Stephen, talking about the women's singles now for a moment, without six of the top 10 ranked women, does this mean it makes it more likely that we could see Serena Williams reach that record, equal that record of 24 wins held by Margaret Court?
I don't think so. She has an extremely tough match today, which is probably the match of the day, where she takes on Sloane Stephens, who's the 2017 champion. Now, Stephens has had a very patchy period since she won, and she was also a French Open finalist, but she's been in very good form so far this week. She is the absolute complete player. It's really a mental thing with her, where she's a phenomenal athlete, power and weapons everywhere, very good at the net. So she's really a superb player when she's playing well, and she is playing well. And the issue that Serena has is she struggled to get through against Margarita Gasparian in the last round. Her serve, while brilliant, isn't quite the same serve as it was, say, 3 years ago. And her movement, while still decent, isn't quite the same as it was 3 years ago. And I think the big issue for her with Grand Slams are that there are so many more players now who can beat her than when she was in her pomp, say, even 2017 when she won the Australian Open, when she was absolutely superb, that looking through the draw, if she makes it through Stephens, which I think is difficult, there are people like Maria Sakkari or Anisimova who I think could still beat her. And she's proven everyone wrong over the years, but I wouldn't have the same confidence in her to win the tournament this time around.
So who's your tip for the women's singles?
The women's is, given, of course, that the six of the top 10 are missing, it's almost fruitless kind of predicting. What I would say is Naomi Osaka, who is a former champion, now she tweaked her hamstring coming into the tournament, but she's looked fine in the tournament. She's already won two majors. She is probably the best player in the world when she's on form and she looks good. So I think the important match in the top half, she plays a really good Estonian called Anett Kontaveit next. If she can get through Anett Kontaveit, I'd say she has a great chance then to get through to the final. In the bottom half, yeah, a lot will probably ride on the Stephens-Williams match in that section. They are the two players who are the most experienced, who, given the absences of so many of their rivals, can push through. But there are lots of good prospects still in that bottom half, like Karolina Mukova, and you even have some players like Victoria Azarenka, who's playing well again, and Sofia Kenin, the Australian Open champion. So in the top half, I think that Osaka has the best chance. In the bottom half, it's very unpredictable.
Okay, name a winner. Come on, pick one out. Put you on the spot.
Name a winner. I'll go and say Osaka. I think Osaka, when she's on form, is the best player in the world. So I think she might find form if that hamstring holds up.
We'll hold you to that. Okay, Stephen Higgins of crosscourtview.com, where there's very interesting stuff if you're a tennis fan. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Back in a moment.
Saturday Sport on RTE Radio 1.